Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he, him. I will be your keeper.
Hello, I'm Becky Annison. My pronouns are she, her, and I will be playing Gabby the Surge, and her pronouns are also she, her.
And I'm James Torrance. My pronouns are he, him, and I will be playing Azure Wings, the last, whose pronouns are also he, him.
Hi, folks. I'm Nick Bate. My pronouns are he, him. And I'm playing the Viscount Greaves, who is the Shade. His pronouns are also he, him.
Hi, my name's Sue Elliott. My pronouns are she, her. I'll be playing August Nye, the Found, whose pronouns are also she, her.
And today we are here to play Apocalypse Keys by Jamila Arnajadi.
So you can sense Jolene in that place, but the how that then sits in relation to where you are is harder for you to discern, and to do so will constitute pushing through darkness, a move that I can imagine is going to be used a lot in this particular game. Everything you try to do for some reason is harder here.
Okay, let's do that then. I'm going to spend two.
I'm just going to stand very still.
I've got seven so far.
It's okay, you only need one higher.
Have I got?
I don't know what you've got, Sue, but I do actually have a move that helps if somebody else spends a bond with me, just for everyone's information.
That might work if, because you were the one who was originally alerted to her presence, weren't you? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so just. My bond requires that if you spend a bond, my move, if you spend a bond with me, you ask me for my expert advice, if you then follow my advice, then you get something else.
Cool, let's do that.
Of course, I now realize I have to come up with something that sounds like expert advice. I do feel like I should point out that having looked at the list of things that you can get from this, I think the only one that is... that works in this context actually means I get something. So
he's tricked you into giving him the benefit.
It was an elaborate trap.
That's still a win for the team, I think. So I think it feels a bit different to use my powers in this space. I think it's a little bit itchy. So August is sort of struggling a little bit. So she turns to Greaves, and well, she's got her eyes closed, but she sort of knows where he is, so she turns to him and says, how did you even find her before? I can't get a lock on her. You've got to help me out here.
I think Greaves says, honestly, August, this is your territory much more than it's mine, but if I can make a suggestion, the three of us, and I'll gesture at the three of us who are not August. We are all close by, and our pattern should be familiar to you. Could you use that some way to hone in on Jolene? Use us to focus your telepathic powers in some way?
August just makes a kind of irritated grunt noise. But she does... she kind of gets the feel for how we feel in this space, and she's able to kind of find the same kind of reading around Jolene, and she grudgingly admits that was actually quite good advice.
the oldest house filter.
Okay, so what does that actually mean in mechanical terms? You're spending a bond as usual, mm-hmm, for the usual effect, but also something else.
So when someone spends a bond with you to receive the plus or minus one bonus, they may ask for your expert advice. If they follow it, they may also choose one. I have a list of three for you here, August. You can clear a condition. I will gain a bond with you. Or you can change a detail or context about a key, but that's not particularly relevant here.
I guess you better take that bond then.
Yeah, you don't have any conditions, do you?
No.
I accept. Thank you. Weirdly, I have a bond with Luna Nakahara, so At some point, I'm going to find a way to pull that one in here.
Well, you're always entitled to do flashbacks.
Yeah.
But that is weird. Yeah, I agree. Cool. So, the actual mechanical outcome of that move, though, is that you got an 8, right?
Yeah.
You use your powers with great precision and effect, changing the situation before you, and I can offer you a reprieve, golden opportunity, or a bond with someone. I'm going to offer you a bond with Jolene Danforth.
Nice.
And I'm going to say that you... what was it that Greaves advised you to do?
To use the mental energy of himself and Gabby and Azure Wings to almost to kind of ground myself in this reality, I suppose, so that I was able to navigate it more clearly.
Okay. And how do you do that? Like, how do we see that?
It's quite subtle, actually. It just, as I stop struggling to find Jolene and begin to concentrate on the people around me, I visibly relax. I was getting more and more and more tense, and then suddenly you see my shoulders come down from my ears and my hands sort of, I think I was probably like, you know, bawling my hands up as well, so they kind of relax, and I take a deep breath, the deepest breath you've taken all day.
That's an Easter egg.
Is that a yoga reference?
Yeah. And then I kind of bring my hands up again, and but I'm not tense this time. I just look. I'm standing up straight. I'm kind of at ease. Physically, I just look quite confident and upright, I suppose. But it's mainly the relaxation of muscles and the deep breath, I think, that you see.
So, and psychically, it's like you've anchored yourself to the others. And now, like, if before your mind was reaching out across the stormy sea, you're now firmly lashed to the rock of their emotions and energies, and you're able to reach out across that sea and find the tiny little boat bobbing on that ocean that is Jolene Danforth, and you can feel her fear and confusion, and you can feel her reach out to you as she senses you, and your mind touches hers, and you hear her say, "Help me, I don't know where I am, I need help." And your mind kind of instantly and momentarily encompasses the shape of the house. It's impossible. It's vast. It is labyrinthine, and it is in motion. But for a moment, you can glimpse the correct path to Jolene Danforth and how to get to her. The quickest path, the safest path. And you know how to get there. Now, by the time you get there, it may have changed, but for the moment at least, you've got that knowledge.
Okay, I know where she is, but we have to move quickly because I don't know how long this path is open to us.
Let's go then. Great job.
August leads the way.
Okay.
So I think when August says that we have to go quickly, Greaves deploys one of his little soul machines that he's been using to keep track of things in the house, and he passes it to Gabby and says to her, "Just in case I can't keep up, maybe it'll help me find you again."
I've got it.
I'm wondering whether I should also ask you to grasp keys while you're at it.
We probably ought to, given that if we don't have any more than Azure Wings key by the end of the session, then we're all going to be racking up room. Oh no, hang on. We want the sweet ruin.
Ruin.
Well, I was just wondering whether that would be appropriate, given that your mind has just encompassed the whole house, August. Once again, the actual keys that are available don't necessarily work that well with it, but that's fine. I'll work something out. Do you want to have a go at it?
Yes, I do.
Excellent.
Right, I'm down to 0 darkness tokens now, so I need to start. That's a 5. Shit.
What a shame.
Time to play to those darkness tokens.
Ooh, it's a good 7 minus though.
I can't remember.
On a 7 minus, you find more than you were ready for. You may choose to mark ruin to uncover a key, but in doing so, the keeper will reveal how you come closer to becoming a harbinger.
Do it, do it, do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're suddenly going to encompass a whole spooky house inside your mind, it's going to do a bit of damage on the way out, isn't it?
Okay. Interesting. That changes my approach to this slightly. Okay, I got it. When you make contact with Jolene's mind, you, underneath her fear, you sense something more. A secret that she is hiding. Or perhaps not so much a secret as something that she doesn't want you or her to see. And you know that you can unlock it if you choose to. Just got to flip that old mental catch. Pop the lid. Do you do it?
Well, I feel like it would be irresponsible for me not to do that, because who knows who you can trust in this environment. I should probably thoroughly investigate.
Yeah, cool.
She'll probably thank me in the long run, to be honest.
So to do this, it's like you have to take a step back and see Jolene's mind for what it is. Yes, it's her psychic essence. Yes, it's her soul. What makes her who she is? Yes, it's all of those things. But it is also a machine that can be manipulated by you. And all you have to do is turn the right dials and push the right buttons, and you can make her mind do what you want to do. And so you do that. You reach out and you press those psychic buttons and pop that lid, and underneath her fear, you discover a memory. And that memory is of Jolene running through a dark place. It is a grey and a Spartan looking place, perhaps a bunker or something like that. And as she moves through the place, you can hear her fearful breathing. You can sense the anxiety running through her and the terrified thoughts and the self-doubt. And you can see shadows moving around her that should not be moving. There's nothing there to cast those shadows. It is not her shadow. And those moving shadows flit in her peripheral vision, and she feels that they are pursuing her as she runs to the only place that she knows she can be safe, the Invoker's quarters, pursued by an inchoate darkness. You also sense something else. You sense a thin strand of hope that she still hopes for Danforth to come and rescue her. And despite the fact that you feel her rage and hatred even of Azure Wings, that she hopes that Azure Wings will come for her. So anyway, the key is the moving shadows in the bunker-like space.
I always write down all the words, and then at the end I'm looking at them and thinking, wait, what's the key?
Yeah. Somehow you've got to distinguish between stuff that's to do with the mystery and stuff that isn't, and that's... Anywho, I hope it's clear how you were becoming more like a harbinger there as well, by the way.
Yeah, I should think so. Not chilling at all.
And funnily enough, in order to get there, the fastest route, which doesn't make any sense, because it will involve going away from where you're trying to get, is to go down into the basement.
Classic.
Aces.
So
we book it, August in the lead?
Agreed.
Yeah, you find a stairwell. It's like, it's one of those kind of service stairs rather than a main staircase that goes down into the darkness of the basement. And you find yourself in a place not dissimilar to what you saw in Jolene's memory, actually. Again, it's sort of sparse decoration, plain, you know. And there's a lot of pipes and ducts and crappy strip lighting that doesn't really do the job. Leaves everything either too starkly lit or too dimly lit, or somehow both. And you're making your way down this corridor into a larger room filled with machinery. Dark room filled with machinery that, I don't know, have any of you ever been down to the boiler room of the Division HQ for any reason?
I think Greaves almost certainly has.
His lab's probably in there somewhere, isn't it?
Quite possibly, but also just he's been around Division HQ for so long. You know, at some point, he's bound to have found his way down there.
In that case, this will be somewhat familiar to you, at least. But as with everything in this place, it's the same but different. The machines seem hostile somehow. They have a crouching presence, as though they might suddenly leap upon you. There's a lot of clanging and hissing, more than in the real world, that confuses the senses. And I have a question for one of you. Well, it's probably going to be Greaves in that case, I think. Why do you recognise the ghosts that haunt this place, and what do they want?
This is the first time I've had to answer one of these questions, and
truly.
I've sat here feeling very glad that it's never been me on the spot. Could you ask me the question once more?
I certainly could. Why do you recognise the ghosts that haunt this place? What do they want?
I think the ghosts who haunt this place are division agents who've been lost in the field over the last 100 years or something. Some of them might have been people I knew well. Some of them might have been people I just heard that Stevens didn't make it back this time. Or, I don't know, Volkov turned dark and had to be eliminated. And I think what they want is... Oh, do I go for the really obvious thing? I think what they want is... Tell me if this is too obvious. I think what they want is... revenge against division for all of their myriad reasons, for not doing enough, for doing too much, for killing them, for sending them out there in the first place, for all that kind of stuff.
Oh dear. No, that's not too obvious. That's great.
I should have said what they want is adorable kittens to play with.
Yes.
Friendly puppies.
Just want somebody to bake them a cake.
Yeah, a nice cup of tea.
Okay, so as you proceed through this area of machinery with the bangs and the hisses and all the rest of it, gradually something shifts and the place feels more enclosed. It feels more claustrophobic. Like you were in quite a big room filled with these crouching monstrous machines, but spacious nevertheless. Now it's like the walls are closing in around you and you've become somewhere else, somewhere narrow, and yet there's still the same machinery and the clanging. Now the clanging feels more resonant, deeper. It's familiar to you, Greaves, this noise. it is the noise of a submarine, and you realise that the narrow space that you're walking down is the central corridor of the submarine that you and your men were in all those years ago, under the sea, deep beneath the sea.
Can I still see everyone else?
Oh yes, yeah, they're all still with you.
We're all still here.
They probably don't realise where they are, though.
I think I'll ask. I think I'm bringing up the Rio. So, who's closest to me? Is it Gabby or is it Azure Wings?
I would like it to be me.
So I'll say, Gabby, does this feel like a submarine to you?
I've never been in a submarine.
But it's closing in.
That is true. You are able to detect the way that the terrain has shifted is just the same way.
Mm. Well, it wasn't before you mentioned it, but now it is.
I'll raise my voice and call out to August in the lead. August, I think the house is pulling something from my mind. This submarine, I've been here before. I don't know if we should speed up or slow down or...
Think of something else. What else can you concentrate on?
I mean, Danforth, obviously. Somebody just said, think of something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the first thing I think of is Danforth.
Sure, okay.
Does it produce any change in the environment? Or...
No. I mean, you feel a little nicer about yourself.
Or a little worse.
Or worse, I don't know. Yeah, you feel however you would feel thinking about Danforth. But are you still moving as the party stopped, or are you still moving forward?
I'm going to say it's significantly slowed down, partly because August has, as it's closed in, she just keeps feeling like she can see these moving shadows, and it's really freaking her out, and it's just making her slow down and down. We're basically stopped, I think, at this point.
Okay, cool.
I have a move that seems like it might be appropriate now.
Okay.
This is my soul like a steel trap. The question is this a tense situation? It feels to me like it is.
Yes.
Good, excellent. So I'm going to spend 2 darkness tokens and roll that. So your cold analytic skills can help you devise the perfect plan when you study a tense situation. So I'll spend 2 darkness tokens. 7 on the dice, total of 9. So... on 8 to 10. So I'm going to stop, and I'm at the back, so that's easy to do. And probably everybody hears this. Well, maybe not because of the clanking machinery, but until that moment, I was a clanking machinery. And study what's happening. See if I can catch things changing. I get to ask you 2 questions. The first one is, how could we best end this quickly?
I think the simple fact is that you ought to get out of this place, and this is the submarine that you went down in, so you know it, and you know where the airlock is. What you don't know is what will happen if you open the airlock.
Okay. And my second question,
sorry, but you can go for the top hatch at least. That will at least have a chance of being, you know, you come
it's
out
more likely
out
to
top.
Be yeah, all of the other ones are good. And so I think the one I'm going to ask is, which of our powers of darkness will be most effective?
Ooh. Feels like instinctively like the answer might be yours, since this place is haunted by vengeful ghosts and you have power of the dead, right? Unless anyone
yes.
else wants to make a pitch that somehow their power is more useful in this situation, which I confess that this is entirely possible. I've forgotten something really relevant.
I mean, I'm not making a pitch for being the most useful, but at this juncture I'll observe that if we need someone to find out what's on the other side of a hatch without opening the hatch,
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I could try blasting the shadows to shreds and then making them.
Yeah, but that's more of a sort of I've got a hammer and everything's a nail type power, isn't it?
The Surge, I feel, is a character which is just a hammer and everything's a nail.
All of you look like nails to me, yeah. I mean... that's fine, but it's not especially useful.
But what about all the nails that need hammering? What's wrong with you?
So I think both those things are true. Greaves' necromantic and dead speaking powers are probably potentially quite helpful in this situation, but the dimensional phasing would be particularly helpful for getting out, for sure.
I think so.
Does it make any difference? Do you get like a mechanical benefit from that?
No, I don't think it makes any difference. Great. Okay. So I think Greaves will say, this submarine is familiar to me. I know how to find the airlock. August, everyone, follow me.
Did we ever establish the name of, like, crew members? Because we've obviously have had a previous vision set in this very submarine.
No.
We didn't. Okay. How about Steel? You've got a first mate called Steel. And as you begin to make your way towards what you hope is the airlock, the internal communication system crackles into life, and you hear Steele's voice over the system, and he says, Greaves, I know you're there.
Steele is... But it can't be you.
It is me. I died all those years ago because of you. I had the air stolen from my lungs. My death is on your hands. And now I've got you at my mercy. Run, Greaves. Run. Or I'll make you pay for my death and those of our crew. Run! Thank you for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Apocalypse Keys by Jamila Arnajadi. If you'd like to find out more about Apocalypse Keys, check out evilhat.com/home/apocalypse-keys. Or check out the show notes where you'll find that link together with links to our stuff. See you next time.
I'm getting a lot of adverts at the moment from Cadbury's, Nick, telling me that I should ask an Australian about whether Cara milk is any good. Because apparently it's ubiquitous in Australia and they are now bringing it over here.
Is this a Foster's situation? You know, Foster's, it's Australian for beer, that kind of...
Are you saying that Australians aren't into Foster's in any way?
I think an Australian would literally drink anything before they drank Foster's.
But I'm sure I saw Crocodile Dundee drinking a pint of it.
I bet you it wasn't. It was probably a pint of Forex that they passed off as a...
Were they two Forex adverts with Australians in it as well?
Maybe am I getting confused between Forex and Foster's? Maybe advertising has only ever told me the truth.
I think Forex is the one where the girl kisses the frog and it turns into a man, and then the man kisses the girl and she turns into a beer. And he's, like, really delighted.
Forex is from Queensland, so that checks out.
Is that a particularly Queenslandy sort of thing to happen?
One of my earliest memories of an advert is a Castlemaine Forex advert, where there was a pickup truck loaded with lots and lots of Castlemaine. And then somebody said, we'd better put on two bottles of sherry for the ladies. And then they did, and then the back of the truck fell off. And they said, oh, it must have been the sherry that overdid it. So they took the sherry off and drove off. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, we're really providing free advertising here for the Australian beer.
Does Castlemaine exist anymore? I haven't seen it anywhere.
I think it's just called Forex, isn't it?
It's just called Forex now.
For a very long time, the slogan for Carlton Draft, the beer that I'm supposed to drink as a Victorian, was "It's made from beer," which may have been accurate.
Is that a bit like Soylent Green?
It's made from humans.
Made from people.
Didn't sound very appetising.
It doesn't sound appetising.
And there are people who are paid all this money to come up with these slogans.
I do not know what caramel is.
Okay. Well, I've eaten three bars of it before Cadbury's even told me to ask an Australian, so maybe you should ask me.
Oh, yeah, you tell me.
So this is different to a Cadbury's caramel.
Completely. So it's like white chocolate, as far as I can tell, but flavoured with caramel, but not like in a caramacky sort of a way, which is quite heavy, but more on the white chocolate end of a caramac flavour. You've eaten it, Josh. What did you think?
I thought it was like caramac.
No, it's lighter than Caramac. It's not quite as strong. Right, well, we're just going to have to buy one Caramac and one Caramilk and just decide between us what we think.
And I will eat a bit of each with a blindfold on.
I think we should do it on the podcast.
Yeah, I think we should.
We could do spin-off podcast.
Josh eats chocolate.
Because we're doing so well that we could do spin-offs. Black Armada tastes...
I was listening to Comics Review podcast War Rocket Ajax, and they have been mentioning their spin-off podcast Snack Situation, in which they rate snacks. So it can be done. I haven't listened to this because I don't care to hear people rate snacks.
If we did that, it would just ruin our stingers, though, because we wouldn't have anything to put in it.
The cross promotion opportunities, though, we could break midway through at high drama points for an advert. From our other podcast.
We could advertise products in character.
That is, you always got the distinction between, like, you know, podcast. You've got podcasts that run ads where it's like, you know, here's an ad that someone else has recorded and we put it in. Then there's podcasts that are running ads, but they're just saying, hey, you might want to buy this pillow. Then there's podcasts that they're running ads where they're saying, hey, I personally love this pillow, and I want to assure you from my sincere heart as a podcaster that my family have all got these pillows and they're great. And that really the next step beyond is the in-character advert.
I want an As Your Wings monologue.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Even as an insect, Harry's razors get my antennae wonderfully smooth. They almost make me forget the pain.
I remember back in the Cretaceous, we would sit on the top of our mountain and we would insist upon drinking Yorkshire tea.